Medical care brings it with responsibility and trust. Medical professionals need to address care with complete responsibility, while their patients have to place their trust with those medical professionals. Unfortunately, there are times when, well, yeah, things can go wrong, which is why legal recourse exists. And for that to remedy a situation, transparency and facts are required. A recent New Jersey State Supreme Court ruling addressed how current law was being used in a way to prevent that transparency. My first guest today joins us to offer an analysis of this ruling from the law firm Bricher-Leone LLC is Drew Bricher. Thanks for being here today, Mr. Bricher.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And learn more about the legal services at Bricher-Leone LLC, MedMalNJ.com, MedMalNJ.com. And yes, we have a link over our website, too. Now, this case revolves around an individual by the name of Janelle Bergoletta, who was under the care of Chilton Medical Center. She sued the hospital back in 2015 along with three doctors, saying they had initially misdiagnosed a ruptured appendix and a pelvic abscess, which resulted in her contracting a flesh-eating bacterial infection. Not exactly what you would count for when you go in for medical care for what seems to be a relatively simple situation. So what was it that was the basis of the actions by the medical side that created the situation for the patient side?
Well, let me start by pointing out the fact that my involvement in the decision was as what is known as amicus counsel or friend of the court counsel on behalf of the New Jersey Association for Justice. A very fine lawyer by the name of Ernie Franzuto from Woodman Park represented Ms. Bergoletta. And essentially, the big issue arose over the use of antibiotics and the failure to deliver them at certain times that was effectively buried in a many, many thousand-page medical record. The court at the trial level was presented with a demand by Ernie for information to be turned over to him that they claimed a privilege of under a piece of legislation known as the Patient Safety Act, which was adopted back in 2006, and it has a very, very positive purpose in medical care, which is to get hospitals to analyze, to do a root cause analysis, it's called, about serious preventable adverse events and report these to the Department of Health so that they can be shared amongst hospital systems to try and avoid similar problems in other places.
So in a way, the doctors and the medical center were treating the Patient Safety Act as a possibility of a finger of blame being pointed, where the design is actually to try to find out why something goes wrong and to repair it.
That's correct, except that I should point out that when the Patient Safety Act was negotiated between the Hospital Association, the trial bar on behalf of the consumers of medical care, the Commissioner of Health and the Senate sponsor, a tender balance was developed in the legislation, that being that we require these analyses to be done, and we privilege the analyses. What happened in this case, and sometimes has happened in other cases since the passage, hospital counsel has sought to try and hide facts from the patient by claiming that they were part of this analytical process and therefore protected. Facts are always the right of the patient, and the court got it right here that they said, we may still have to protect the actual analysis and documents, but there's nothing that the court at the trial level can't do to look at the documents and say, Mr. Hospital Counsel, you have to give a narrative explanation for what happened here. And so the court in this instance said, you can't hide the fact in a 4,000-page record and not provide a narrative that guides the patient and their attorney to the facts, not to any conclusions, not to any accusations, not create a roadmap for the plaintiff's litigation, but to give the patient the actual facts that underline their care and their claims.
If nothing else, take the legal side out of the equation. If I'm Ms. Bergoletta and something has gone wrong with my initial medical care, shouldn't I be entitled to all the information necessary so that I can go to another doctor, they can more quickly find the right path, given full access to all the information about my case?
Absolutely. And one of the other elements of the Patient Safety Act is if a patient has suffered a serious preventable adverse event, there's an actual obligation on the hospitals and to see to it that the patient is advised that they've suffered such an event so that they can make determinations about their care.
And according to what I was able to research, it was really as simple as the missing of several doses of antibiotics, which led to the infection that Ms. Brugalata had received. So it was really just a simple mistake that created a significant problem, where if it was admitted to and caught faster, that a lot of inconvenience, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering could have been certainly avoided. We're talking with Drew Britcher from the law firm of Richard Leone LLC. MedMalNJ.com is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. We're putting focus on the Patient Safety Act. We put a link to as well on our website. We can read some of the details about this law, because it is something, you know, how common is this? Are the elements of the Patient Safety Act communicated to patients from the medical profession?
Well, it's interesting that since the act has been adopted, there are literally hundreds of reports each year to the Department of Health about analyses of serious preventable adverse events. But yet it's interesting that the vast, vast bulk of the clients who come to myself and other medical malpractice attorneys almost never report to us in obvious situations that anybody from the hospital has actually complied with the reporting to the patient side of the process, which is disturbing, because it's one of the elements of the balance that was drawn. Was that, yes, you get these privileges to your analysis, but you have some duties that go with it.
That sort of goes in line with maybe the reasoning why there was a dissent written by Justice Barry Alvin. Not that he was against the decision, but Justice Alvin didn't think it went far enough. He wrote that the patient's right to know is not dependent on her filing a medical malpractice lawsuit or requesting the information in a well-crafted and interrogated question. Patients' affirmative right to know is enshrined in the public policy of the state by laws passed by the legislature.
And he's 100% correct about that being a concern from the legal standpoint of how one gets this information into litigation. Certainly the majority addressed a means for the court to review the documents, as they call it, in camera, which means in effect in private of the court, and then force the defense to give a narrative description. His point, well taken, is what if you have a patient where it wouldn't matter to their care, and yet there's never going to be a litigation? That patient, this doesn't address, needs to be told about that information so that they can make determinations. And it would be fair to say if the hospitals comply with the Patient Safety Act, they would get told that information. Not all of them are doing so.
Is there anything in the reaction by Chilton or any of the doctors that makes you as a malpractice attorney say, okay, they get it, lesson learned?
I think it would be fair to say that I think it's more that the court has been given some, and when I say the court, I mean the trial-level courts, have been given some direction from the high court of how to address something that the legislation itself never told them how to address. And so I think whether or not the individual hospital, quote, gets it, learns the lesson, the court now has a means of remedying any of the hospitals and their counsel who try to hide things.
So the next time this should happen and the hospital says, no, you can't see that, the judge can rule, yeah, they can see that now.
Not so much that they can see it, but that he can rule or she can rule that they have to tell the facts to the patient.
It's an interesting case about a law that, well, unfortunately, due to the actions of others, not enough people know about. So that's why we put the link up to the Patient Safety Act as well for your edification. And to learn more about the law firm of Britcher Leone LLC, MedMalNJ.com. Mr. Britcher, thanks for being here today.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.